you are listening to KKCR Honolulu, KAQA Kilauea, the station that loves you, Kauai Community Radio, right up here at 90.9 FM Honolulu, 92.7 Anahola Moloa'a, and 91.9 FM Islandwide on the gathering place of Oahu, 104.7 FM, and of course, 95.1 FM on the cable dial, streaming worldwide at kkcr.org. This is Laura Christine and the Get Low Show. Not.
I'm thinking about it now. Could I be a fool if I don't keep you around? Cause baby girl, you're out of my world. Ooh, my love. Can let me get a little bit closer. I really wanna be missing your love. The feeling that you give me is so good. Yeah, you're my star. This is that it's in the galaxy, she's shining on them, rolling the pressure like a domino. Hotter than the sun, she lighted up. Them other stars wasn't shooting high enough. Got a thing about you, don't take much to see that you're too far. And it's all about you. I'm in love with all that you do, and it feels so right. Shining all day, not just all night. You're the kind of girl I need in my life. You can be my star.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
That's right, the views and opinions. That's what we're all about here on this Out of the Box show. I want to let folks know that this Out of the Box program is made possible by the good folks at Kalaheo Chiropractic, Hawaii Gaga, and Dolphin Touch Retreat.
Kalaheo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic, acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, electromagnetic cellular therapy, and spinal rehab. Most major health insurance plans and Medicare accepted. Open Monday through Friday, 832-5580 or online at kalaheochiropractic.com.
HawaiiGaga.com, Hawaii Vacation Rental Directory and Vacation Guide. A proud sponsor of Kauai Community Radio, Hawaii Gaga also publishes the Kauai GPS Tour Guide, an audio tour of Kauai for iPhones. More information online at HawaiiGaga.com.
Announcing the Healing the Healers Retreat, August 31st through September 5th at Dolphin Touch Wellness Center in Kapaa. During the six-day retreat, you will receive daily healing sessions, healthy meals, daily body movement exercises, nature hikes, meditations, and crystal bowl ceremonies. Clear your energy, embrace abundance, and open your heart. A Lemuria Remembered retreat will be held on the first week of November. Personal healing journey retreats are also available. More information online at dolphintouch.org or by calling Jeannie at 822-4414.
Mahalos for supporting Kauai Community Radio. Kauai Community Radio, the station that loves you. We've got 2 hours, well, a little bit less because here we are already past the 4 o'clock hour. 2 hours of community forum. It's one of several community forums that KKCR hosts for our benefit to learn, to share, to explore, and maybe be open to different perspectives than what we commonly hold near and dear. I've got a guest on the phone calling in from all the way from Puhi, the beautiful campus of Kauai Community College, and I'm going to try to bring her on up without hanging up or anything like that. Laura, are you there on the phone?
I'm here.
And you can hear me?
Yes.
All righty. So if I can hear you and you can hear me, other people can too.
Oh, great.
Right on. And I invited you to come talk story on Kauai Community Radio from Kauai Community College about a new program that you are leading up and have been working on and new classes offered up. Can you tell a little bit for our listening audience a little bit about the program that you are spearheading or leading on?
Sure. We started developing this program. It's funded by a Department of Labor grant. We started about a year ago trying to develop it. We're focusing on the areas of wealth, which we define as water and waste, energy, affordable, sustainable living, and food and agriculture. So those are the content areas that we're focusing on. We also have an introduction to the science of sustainability class that's a required class to earn the certificate. And that class we're offering this semester. We're also offering an Energy 101 Introduction to Sustainable Energy Technology this semester. And then the following semester, we will offer a Sustainable Agriculture Systems, Sustainable Water and Waste Management, Sustainable Building Design, Construction, and Operations class.
Wow. And so this is all part of the college's attempt to bring sustainability curriculum to the forefront and another aspect of the Ho'oulu'wehi program, the Kauai's Sustainable Living Institute. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And your role, how have you been involved with this?
I have been involved. I'm the main coordinator for the program, and we also collaborated with Maui College. They have a 4-year program in sustainable science management. So we borrowed some of their curriculum, tweaked it a little bit to fit our needs. And so I've been kind of the main person that's been coordinating and working with the different people. I've written the program proposal and different things in that respect. So developed the curriculum mainly.
Mm-hmm. And you're also instructing some of these courses as well.
Yeah, I'm instructing the Introduction to the Science of Sustainability course this semester, and probably one or two courses next semester as well.
To share with listeners a little bit about this notion of the science of sustainability. What does that mean?
Basically, we are going over many different topics at a basic introductory level. We're going to talk about food and agriculture, energy, transportation, water and waste management. And we're going to look at all of those topics from a holistic perspective so students really get an understanding of how to look at the problems, considering all the different aspects that roll into them. It's not just one thing that we have to consider. It's many different things. So this course is trying to get them to understand how to think about problems and how to think about solutions so that then when they go into the content courses, they have a little bit of a base and they have some skills in how to think and write and communicate.
So can you, for folks that are just joining us, I'm speaking with Laura Williams from Kauai Community College. She's coordinating a new certificate program that the college is offering through Ho'oʻuluwehi, which is the Sustainable Living Institute of Kauai. Laura, tell us a little bit about the certificate program. What does that mean? Who are you targeting, and who might want to be, or who would be interested in taking these classes or trying to earn a certificate from KCC?
Really, we're targeting a lot of different people with this certificate. What we're proposing is a 12-credit certificate that really would be added to somebody else's. Either they have already earned a degree and they want to come back to school to pick up a little bit more knowledge that they may be able to implement in their workplace, possibly get a raise. That's also for a student at KCC, that perhaps a business student that wants to set themselves apart and add a sustainability certificate to their business degree.
Mm-hmm.
And then the larger certificate is a certificate of achievement. That's a year-long certificate, and it will include courses in biological science, chemistry, math, written communication. And that's meant as more of a terminal certificate program for somebody who's looking for employment. So employment in the water and waste industry, energy, food and agriculture, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it can fit a lot of different needs.
Mm-hmm. And if folks want to find out more, how would they go about that?
You can reach me at my office. My phone number is 245-8386. I can also be reached by email. It's Laura, LauraLW at hawaii.edu.
Mm-hmm. And this class that you're going to be teaching, there's also another course being offered right now at the moment that Daniel Erickson is instructing as well.
Yeah, we have an expert in renewable energy, and he is teaching the Energy 101, Introduction to Sustainable Energy Technology. So that focuses not only on renewable energy, but also on demand-side management. So looking at how we can reduce our consumption of energy and make it more efficient,
mm-hmm.
the energy that we already have and are using.
And why? Why are we offering this at our community college?
We think it's important as the island moves forward in trying to be more sustainable, more resilient in the face of changes going on within the global economy, as energy gets more expensive, that kind of thing, as more jobs come up with PV being installed, biomass, water and waste, those kinds of jobs, to train people for jobs and also to help people think about creative ways of moving the island and its residents forward.
And how do you feel about being one of the, if you will, kind of folks in the vanguard, leading the way? How does that sit with you?
It's a big responsibility, but I feel very grateful, and I have an incredible team behind me that supports me and gives me guidance and support whenever I need. So I'm very grateful for all of them, and I'm really... KCC is really growing and it has a lot of great programs, so I'm very grateful to be here and to be adding to the programs that are offered here. So it's a big responsibility, but I'm running with it. So.
There you go, running with it. That's a good thing to do. Where are you running from? Tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I grew up in Illinois, and I went to school in a few different places, California, Colorado, eventually made my way back to Illinois, and got a master's degree in geography and environmental resources with a concentration in environmental sustainability. So that was my last place of residence, and that's where I came from when I moved out here for this job.
And then how did you find out about the position you have and the work that you're doing?
I was on a email list for sustainability coordinator, sustainability program manager jobs, and this job listing came up, and I applied, and got a call back, interviewed, and got the job. I was very excited.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that you're keeping that enthusiasm level up, and that you've helped usher in a new era at Kauai Community College and bringing in a new program that has, if you will, a bent towards a green and prosperous future for Kauai.
Yeah, it's been really great. We've got a lot of students involved. We have a sustainability club, and it's really active. And so it's been really great to interact with the students and see their passion and want to move forward with this as well. So mm-hmm. it's been a really good experience so far, and we're looking forward to seeing it move forward.
That's it. You guys were involved in organizing last year's Earth Day event at KCC. Anything's on the horizon? Anything that you would like to share with listeners and our Kauai community?
No, just keep your ears out for what we're doing over here at KCC. We have a lot of exciting projects and programs, and we look forward to interacting with the community and doing service projects and being more involved with what's going on and reaching out and working together. So, mm-hmm.
What have been some of the highlights so far in your short time here on island and working at the college with this program?
I think Earth Day was a really big highlight for me. It was a lot of work, but it was really cool to see the students lead it up and see them come together and really learn real-world skills and coordinating and planning an event. I really enjoy working with the students, and so I think that's been one of the main highlights. Also, the people that I work with at KCC have been one of the main highlights. They're really great people over here, really knowledgeable, and I've learned a lot. So,
nice.
Mostly the people.
Mostly the people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. There's a lot to be said for that, and I appreciate you taking some time out of your at the end of your work day, or are you still have a couple more projects or tasks to take care of before you wrap it up and call it good for a day?
Yeah, I have a few things to do.
Yeah, always a couple few things to do. Well, Laura Williams, one last time, how people can get in touch with you. Is it too late to sign up for these courses?
It's not. Mm-hmm. We're getting closer to the end date to sign up, but it's not too late to sign up. So if you're interested, please do give me a call. My number is 245-8386, or you can email me at Laura, LauraLW. At hawaii.edu.
Well, thank you, Laura, for joining us here on Kauai Community Radio.
Thank you,
best
Jimmy.
Of luck this upcoming semester.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Right on, and Daniel Erickson is another instructor at Kauai Community College who's teaching the Introduction to Sustainable Energy Technology. He will hopefully be joining us. He's spending some time up on the mountain earlier today, but was thinking that he might be able to give us a call to talk story a little bit about the program that he's a part of. We've got, let me do this first, and then, actually, we're going to take a little musical interlude, and then, hold on, I'm going to just see. Aloha caller, you are on the air. I guess
hello?
Not. Hello?
Hi, I just wanted...
I'm sorry, I might have hit the wrong button. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi. There's a meet and greet at the Kapa'a Elementary from 6 to 8:30. It's meet and greet with Dustin Barker, who's running for mayor, and that's from 6 to 8:30 at the Kapa'a Elementary School tonight.
That's 6 to 8:30 at Kapa'a Elementary School, and that's with candidate for mayor Dustin Barker?
Correct.
Right on. Are you a Dustin Barker supporter?
I am.
And would you be willing to share a little bit? We had some callers on Tuesday's show asking a little bit about Dustin Barker's position. And I guess this caller had asked, you know, anybody like to share why I would want to consider voting for Dustin Barker? And I thought maybe if we had a caller today that is a supporter of Dustin Barker, or if Dustin Barker is listening, you'd be welcome to call in. But since I've got you on the air and you're speaking about a public event, 6 o'clock, starting off at Kauai or Kapa'a Elementary, a meet and greet with Dustin Barker, maybe you could share for folks who might not be able to make it or folks who are wanting to know more about the man and the candidate for mayor, Dustin Barker. Please share with listeners what you think or you feel are some of his attributes and qualities that make him a strong candidate for mayor.
Okay, I think it would be best to hear from him or his campaign team. I mean, I'm just one of, I help with the campaign, but the reason I am voting for him, there's several, you know. One of them is he was way out in the forefront for the march, the marches that he put out in mm-hmm. 2012 on each island, March and March. They were a march on every single island, every single Saturday to raise awareness towards the spraying and poisoning of our island and its people, of our waterways. And so, you know, that alone, to be able to get that many people to get together to really make a stand is really impressive. He has a lot of integrity. I think that he's got a really great ideas that he hasn't actually opened up about yet. There's a lot of really good things that he has, like plans, how to move the island forward, but that's something that you actually, that's the next step in what's coming. I think some of his ideas on how to work with addiction and the addicts that are in prison, and when they get out of prison, the next step for them is counseling. And then working with the Aina, working with the land, growing with your sobriety, I think that's genius. You know, as long as we can keep these people on track and keep them away from past affiliates, you know, it's a really great idea. You mm-hmm. know, getting people back into nature, providing what's important, you know, providing food for your family and your ohana, you know, is important. Other ideas, let's see. He's a really well-traveled guy. He's actually a super intelligent guy. He's, you know, a lot of people say, oh, he's not a high school graduate. Well, at the age of 14, he started traveling around the world as a professional surfer, going to Japan, to the Maldives, to Indonesia, Mentawai's, South Africa, Brazil, gosh, there's some other, the Galapagos, you know, all sorts of places in the world, mm-hmm. time and time again, not only surfing, but, you know, studying indigenous cultures, you know, where those people that he went and stayed with, you know, experiencing their lifestyle. He's extremely well read. He reads a lot of books. If you know how to read, you can do anything, you know. Gosh, any other questions? I'm kind of...
Well, no, I just really appreciate it. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I know you just called up to make an announcement that tonight at 6 o'clock at Kapaa Elementary School, there will be a meet and greet for Dustin Barca. So folks on the east side or anywhere else on this island, if you would like to know a little bit more about Dustin Barca, he'll be there live in person at the elementary school. Do you know where this is going to be on campus?
You know, honestly, I do not. I know that it's posted on Facebook. If you have access to Facebook, and if you go to Dustin Barca for Mayor, I think it's the name of the site. I even reposted it, and other people are reposting it. If you're able to get to that from your where you are right now,
okay.
Then hopefully, it'll give a little bit more information. But you know, I hope that people. You know, we really need a lot more votes. We really need people who signed up to vote. To actually vote. I feel like, you know, I was at the county fair, I was working the Barker for Mayor booth. I got a lot of interesting perspectives from people that wanted to speak with me. I mean, I had a guy want to speak with me, and then he didn't want to speak with me. He actually worked for the county, and he thought he'd get in trouble talking to me, and he was such an honest, brave guy. He left, he came back to talk to me some more, so really insightful stuff about what's going on in...
county government.
You know, in the county right now, not county council, but just in the county itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just a lot of, God, I forget the word offhand. I'm sort of in a hurry to get into this doctor's office appointment I have, but,
well,
you know, when you hire, nepotism,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of nepotism going on in our hiring of, people for the job, and not the right people are getting hired, from what I understand, to do specific jobs. Like maybe six people will be, turned into the mayor, six candidates that have been studied turned into the mayor, for his, you know, pick, and he'll pick number five rather than the first three top candidates because it's the daughter of a friend of his, or, you know, it's a cousin, or, you know, there is a lot of nepotism going on, and that's what people don't understand, you know, and, you know, we really need to trim down our government, I think, you know, a little bit in certain areas. But anyway, come meet Dustin Barca, see what he has to say. I cannot speak for him. I just know things about him that I can share on why I'm voting for him.
Well, I certainly appreciate you calling in. Thank you.
Probably when I'll hang up, more things will come to mind.
Well,
I'm
feel
sorry.
Free to call back if you're so inclined. And this radio station is here for you and our community to share and gather information. And we'll continue to let folks know at 6 o'clock tonight at Kapaa Elementary School, a meet and greet for candidate for mayor Dustin Barca. I hope that we'll have Dustin in the booth in the near future as well with...
I hope so. and I told people show up because, you know, I know that a lot of people think, oh, he's not qualified, but it's really the team that you put together, and he really is no more not qualified than Mayor Bernard Cavallo himself when he first went into office. All he had, Mayor Cavallo, was he was a football player and he worked for the County Parks Division. I mean, if that makes you more qualified than traveling the world more times over and reading a lot of books and being a professional surfer, I mean, you know, they're kind of level there. So I don't think one person's more qualified than the other. I think that Dustin has a lot to bring to the table, and it's exciting to see what he has to say, and please show up tonight.
Well, there you go. Thanks so much for calling. Appreciate the opportunity to find out more about Dustin Barca.
Aloha.
And that's the way it is on community radio. We get a chance to open up the airwaves, make space for candidates, for community concerns, for folks who want to share their mana'o about what's happening. And just had a door open, and in walks in Tim Kalai. So mahalo's, Tim, for being here. I know that you were at a open space meeting, and that's a great thing to keep abreast of what's going on. We'll get you and a mic loaded up here soon. I'm going to put this out here so folks who are listening can get a chance to just know that I get a chance as a host to invite people, as well as listeners out there get a chance to have their people give a call or have their candidate of choice to be spotlighted. So if you are a supporter of a candidate for mayor, candidate for council or house representative, any political office, feel free to give us a call at 826-7774. Talk to one of the volunteers or staff who answers the phone and find out how you can arrange for time to be on air and share your perspectives of what's going on for your candidate or your candidate's campaign. And with that, I'm going to play this and then take a musical interlude, and we'll get back to the rest of the show. We've got council member Gary Hooser coming to join us and talk story as well, talking council business, talking a little bit about the recent decision by the federal judge. What was his name? Judge Barry M. Curran, who wrote that the court's ruling in regards to Ordinance 960, county law regulating the use of pesticides and genetically modified crops, that it is preempted by state law and therefore invalid. That's from an article on Tuesday's Garden Island News written by Chris DeAngelo. You can see a link to that on our Facebook page. So we're going to, one, play this political announcement, unless there's somebody who wants to go on the air right away. Looks like that's not the case. So sit back, enjoy. We've got an hour and a half of community forum coming up for you in the near future.
If you're a candidate for political office and would like to speak to Kauai on KKCR, call in to our public affairs talk shows, Tuesdays and Thursdays between 4 and 6 p.m. at 826-7771.
There we go. So one little thing about the county that's coming up. I got this one tossed in my box here. Propane tanks accepted for recycling. The Solid Waste Division is encouraging the public to take advantage of a free recycling service that's available to residents who have old propane tanks with a 10-gallon capacity or less. Residents can bring propane tanks with their valves intact to the following transfer stations. That's the one up here in the North Shore at Hanalei, up on the east side at Kapa'a in the Central District in Lihue, and out on the west side in Hanapepe. Those transfer stations are accepting intact propane tanks. And if you have a tank that is not intact, that doesn't have its valve, it should be taken to the Puhi Metals Recycling Center, which is right there on the Puhi Road across from Kauai Community College. This is kind of like a new item that's being accepted, so that's kind of a good thing. It's also one of the things that's on the Facebook page for KKCR in regards to conversations that we'll be having, this concept of pay as you throw. It's a program that the Solid Waste Division is looking at rolling out, and that's going to revamped the way that we throw away and the way that we charge or get charged for having our refuse being collected, and also will support some of the recycling initiatives hopefully as well. So the public is advised to utilize the services of a professional to remove propane tank valves due to the risk of serious injury. For a fee, residents and businesses can take old propane tanks with valves intact that are larger than 10 gallons to PMRCs. That's the Puhi Metal Recycling Center. And if they're less than 10 gallons, then go ahead and take them to the transfer station in Honolulu, Kapa'a, Lihue, and in Hanapepe. So with that, here's a little bit of music. This Sunday, Michael Franti will be on island. Well, actually, he'll be on island before that, but playing for your benefit with Paula Fuga and others. It's a little Michael Franti to kind of prime the pump for you.
Tell me why the grass was greener years ago. I swear it used to grow here, but no more here. Tell me why on this hill all the birds they used to come to fly here, come to die here. And tell me why I need to know. Sometimes I wish I didn't have to know. Oh, you showed me. Hey world, what you say? Should I stick around for another day or two? Don't give up on me, I won't give up on you. Just believe in me like I believe in you. Tell me why on the corner all the kids that used to come to run here load their guns here. And tell me why it's okay to kill in the name of the gods we pray. Tell me who said it's okay to die in the name of the lies we say. Tell me why there's child soldiers. Tell me why they close the borders. Tell me how to fight disease. And tell me now, won't you please? The only thing I want to do is to be in the arms of someone who believes in me like I believe in you. And I say, hey world, what you say? Should I stick around for another day? Hey world, what you say? Should I stick around for another day? Hey world, what you say? Should I stick around for another day or two? Don't give up on me, I won't give up. And I try, 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 try. I try, 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 try for you. Don't give up on me. And I cry, 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 cry. I cry, 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 cry for you. Just believe in me like I believe. Hey world, what you say? Hey world, what you say? Hey world, what you say? Should I stick around for another day? Hey world, what you say? Should I stick around for another day or two? Don't give up on me, won't give up on you. Just believe in me, like I believe in you. Don't give up on me. Hey world, what you say? Hey world, what you say? Hey world, what you say? Hey world, what you say?
There we go. Mahalo's Dove for bringing Michael Franti over. Manifest is coming up this weekend. We'll hear more about that as this Out of the Box show progresses. I do want to welcome on mic number one. Let me get that going up here. Councilmember Gary Hooser joining us in the booth. Gary, how's that sound there? Can you?
I can hear you just fine, Jimmy. Thanks for having me here.
I can hear you just fine as well. Good to have you in the booth. Thanks for coming us. Just back to the political invitation that we played earlier. You know, want to make that kahea out to you candidates and you supporters. You know, our community benefits when we engage our candidates and our elected officials to come and share, talk story with us, give us an alternative perspective, because sometimes what we read in the media or what we read in the blogs or what we hear from folks isn't always the complete story. So it's great to have that in-person connection. And Gary, you've always been one free to make yourself available. I appreciate that in your political career, freely handing out your cell phone. I know I've had a number of conversations with you on the phone as well as on the radio. You used to host a radio show on KQNG Kong early in your political career. I'm trying to think of what days it was, if it was a Tuesday or it was a while back.
That's right. It was a while back, and I remember that. But you know, thanks a lot for the invitation, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. You know, if anyone around the island, whether it's Kekaha or Haena, wants to meet with me or talk with me, I'd be happy to meet with them. I'm doing a little of what I'm calling a coffee talk tour. So I'll be going around the island and hanging out at coffee shops, you know, and I love my Americanos. And if anyone wants to meet with me and have a cup of coffee, they should call me. Call mm-hmm. me directly, 652-4279. Text me and email GaryLHooser@gmail.com. And we could either talk on the phone or have a cup of coffee somewhere.
There you go. Again, just appreciate your willingness to make yourself available. Gary, let's talk a little bit about the council. You just came in off of a council workshop today on the issues of taxation and the issues. What's the backstory? What happened? Why are people as upset as they are about taxes? Of course, everybody's, you know, doesn't want to pay more than they feel they have to. But you know, that's one of the things that we got to do is pay our taxes. So what happened recently, and why is that kind of got some folks' BVDs in a bind?
Well, you know, and rightfully so. You know, taxes and money are a personal and individual item, and so when it hits somebody in the pocketbook and it's unexpected, they get a little upset, and they're entitled to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the backstory is that over the last couple of years, there's been a movement by the tax department, by the administration, and supported by the council to do some major changes in our tax, the way we tax people and the property taxes. And this past year, there was a couple of bills that were passed that put into place some changes. And I believe what happened is there was some unintended consequences. Everybody knew that there were going to be some people's taxes were going to be increased, some were going to be decreased.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about split 50-50. But the people who had lower taxes didn't come in to complain. And there were several, far too many, who had unexpectedly significant increases. People of increases of 100%, you know, 200%. And depending on your where you are in life, $100 can be a lot of money. And $500 or $5,000. And so there are people from all walks of life who unexpectedly had some significant increases. And so we met today, we had a great discussion, and it's really, you know, a celebration of our community, I think, here. When the people in the community who are impacted by the laws can come, talk to their council members face-to-face, and I have no doubt that we're going to respond appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to make some amendments to the law and provide some retroactive help for those people who were caught in this situation. But it was a good day overall. You know, I learned a lot, and we're going to be moving forward with some solutions.
Mm-hmm. Now, Gary, this you mentioned the administration and the tax department. Was this an initiative from the current administration, or is this something that's been kind of on the table for a while and just took it a while to kind of massage it through? Was this something that the council said, oh, we'd like to see happen, or how did it come about?
This specific situation came about from the Mayor Carvalho, mm-hmm. the administration. Mm-hmm. They proposed to the council a lifting of the property tax cap. And the council, we had some debate on it last year and followed their lead. We made some amendments to it, but followed their lead. And I think the biggest issue is, in this particular situation, was we were pressed for time. And you and I both know, when you're making decisions under pressure, sometimes you don't cover all the bases. But I think, you know, we acknowledge responsibility, and we acknowledge responsibility for fixing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about, you know, placing blame, whether it's a mayor or whether it's a council or this council of Emerson voted for it or against it. You know, we're all in this together. And I think that's, you know, we had a political forum a couple of months ago. And someone asked me what the first thing I was going to do if I was elected, and I kind of half jokingly said, we're going to do a group hug. So I think we need to do that more. You know, we need to just acknowledge we're all in this together. We're all one big Ohana, and let's get together, you know, and move forward.
And you got a hug from Billy DaCosta.
That's right, Uncle Billy.
There we go. And not being silly, just being Billy. And, you know, I mean, and that's the kind of thing that I think it's important for us to all kind of keep in mind, you know, that we're all in this together, right, you know, right. And that it's going to take a little bit of Lau Lima and Kokua to make it all work together.
That's right.
Gary, we got a message here, a phone call.
Sure.
Already. So if you're open for taking some phone calls.
I am.
Right on. Let me pull this person up. Caller, are you there?
I'm here.
All righty. So you're live on Kauai Community Radio. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Mr. Hooser, I have a question for you.
Yes.
If you get elected and into what you are doing, I want to know what the positive outcome can you bring to the native Kanaka people.
Well, you know, what positive outcomes I'd bring to the native Kanaka people is I hope to bring to all the people of Kauai, and that's a council. Well, as an individual and as a council as a whole, looking for a positive, sustainable future, a place where we have affordable housing, true affordable housing, for all local residents. You know, a community where we have small farms that flourish, where we have small businesses. You know, we have a good economy, where we respect each other. You know, where we have access to our beaches as well as to our mountains, where people that want to go hunting, they want to go fishing, where we have that kind of freedom, where people aren't under stress all the time. You know, I mean, I cannot promise all these things, but that's the vision I have for the future, and that's a vision I'm going to work for.
All right, my next question is, Are you going to proceed in any of the sacred site cleanup for any of the Hawaiian native sacred sites? Is there going to be more action in that department at that time?
You know, I would hope so. You know, a lot depends on what the community. Again, I'm just one individual person. So if you or, you know, your Ohana or a group of people want to work on some projects, you know, I would definitely support that, and I'd be out there with you. No, absolutely.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Mahalo for that call.
And, you know, I appreciate the reminder of the caller of how important it is for me personally to get out. Mm. Sometimes I stay in the office, or I'm on the computer, or I'm on the phone, and I'm working with paper. But the invitation and the opportunity to get out and get my feet and hands dirty is a good one.
Yeah.
And it makes me think about that.
I got to give a shout out to Mason Chalk, your colleague on the council, who's running for election as well, and is kind of taking a different tact with his campaign style and doing community service projects and doing some action with Aloha, which I appreciate. And you're right, it's important for you guys to be out there. I do remember when I first when I first moved here, one of the biggest community events going on was the Kamalani Bridge build project. You know, I remember seeing you out there. I remember seeing Mayor Baptiste. I guess actually he was council member Baptiste at the time. Chair Asing was there, and it was For me, impressive just to see you guys put on the tool belts and you brought your supporters. You know, folks were wearing the shirts, and it's just good to see you guys contribute and give back in that kind of way, because I think we all relate to it and know that, you know, it's more than just standing on the side of the road and holding a sign and smiling, that there's a lot of work to be done.
It is, you know, and I want to give kudos to Councilmember Tim Bynum for playing a leadership role, a key leadership role in that particular project.
With Kamalani, yeah. Kamalani. Right.
And to this day, my wife and I go up there and look at the bolts we put in to hold certain railing. I mean, we know exactly where they were, and we go out there, and it is. It's something to be proud of.
Yeah.
And yes.
It's true. We have a phone call. Gary, one more time here. Caller, you are live on the air with Councilmember Gary Hooser and Out of the Box.
Thank you so much. Aloha, gentlemen.
Aloha.
My question is the issue of the lack of space that is available for the public to use. For example, prior to Iniki, my friend and I, on our day off, would ride to the Holna Mountain to Lihue, and it was a very lovely experience. Now, because people are texting and doing their toenails, I'm sort of uncomfortable in riding my mountain bike on the side of the road. So the real drag, I think, about living in Hawaii is the fact that there is so little public land available for the public to use. And then, of course, you cannot go on the private land now because they fenced all the cane fields off, et cetera. So there's, you know, and there's a general humbug kind of attitude. So I just am sort of frustrated in this regard. I'll take my answer off the air.
And what was the question?
The question is regarding the lack of public land or land that the public can use. See, the thing is, and I may be wrong on this, but it seems like we're all just squashed around the periphery of the island, and there's all this state and federal and, of course, private land, but it's the issue of public land available for public use that concerns me.
Well, thank you for asking that, and Gary, go ahead.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a valid question. I see it more as an access issue rather than a lack of land issue. You know, we have quite a bit of state land, the entire Nepali coast, up in the mountains, Koke'e, and lots of parkland, but too often those lands are hard to get to. You know, we have a beautiful coastline, you know, we issues that are near and dear to our heart of how do you get there, you know, and it makes it difficult. So that's an issue I've been working on for a long, long time. And the Open Space Commission, we talked about that earlier. The county, I'll blow my own horn for a second. When I was on the council years ago, myself and now State Senator Ron Cochi put that on the charter amendment proposal, and the people voted for it,
mm-hmm.
to establish an Open Space Commission, a dedicated fund. And that fund is to do just what this gentleman said, is to secure, maintain, and, you know, malama open space and access to that open space. So we're very, very aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an ongoing issue.
Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of, if you will, progressive type of policy making that really benefits us when we have leadership and vision come together to go ahead and designate funding or create that vehicle that Open Space Preservation Access Commission or committee that Tim religiously attends with his partner Hope, that the fact that we have this really small resource, and as the caller pointed out, that the ability to freely range and roam over those areas has been reduced significantly, and that affects our quality of life.
It does.
And I really appreciate that your, I do remember this was back in the days of Kale'o'o Kauai and Mayor Baptiste's effort to kind of organize around community concerns and community empowerment. That was one of the Anahola group's big push, was to try to get access to Paw Bay and the I want to say Peter Gruber, was that his property there, known as Tara, and the access that was kind of limited. There was a public fight to try to, you know, secure access there, and unfortunately we didn't win out on that one.
Well, and that one's not over with yet, I don't believe, either.
Well, and I'm glad to hear that.
So there was a man, I forget his name off the top of my head, who wrote a series of books called The Price of Paradise.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, basically, the price of paradise is eternal vigilance. And so that's really it. It's about being vigilant. It's about staying on it.
Mm-hmm.
And Papa Bay, we're staying on that. I believe we can ask Tim later.
Mm-hmm.
That is on the list. And as properties with increased urbanization, there's increased need to be vigilant to secure those public access points as properties are developed.
Mm-hmm.
I've personally been asked to leave the beach a few years ago. And I was walking on public land, and the representative of the landowner told me I was trespassing, and it was not a very pleasant situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be, you know, kind of kicked off public domain.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. But, you know, we have our challenges, but we have a lot of fabulous beaches, a lot of fabulous trails and places that we can go and really enjoy and get out. I think it's a lot of it, we have to put it into perspective. You know, you look at other places on Oahu and other places where you can't go to a beach that's not crowded. And here we are blessed with lots of good places to go.
Thank you. Well, we have some wonderful people too, listeners like you. You are live on the phone, on the air.
Yes, hello. Mr. Hooser, how can we find out where the candidates are getting their money from to for this election? For example, I'm interested in finding out where everyone is getting their money from that's running for council seats. How can I go about finding out that information to see what kind of funding, if there is corporate funding, for example, to candidates? I'd like to find out how I can go about getting this information.
Okay.
I'll hang up and I'll take your answer off the air. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for that phone call.
You know, the State Campaign Spending Commission is very transparent. You can go Google Campaign Spending Commission Hawaii, and you can go and actually look at the candidates' financial reports. You can see a list, an actual list of every candidate's donors that donate over $100 cumulatively, and you can see what they spend. It's a very good site. It takes a little to figure it out, but once you do, it's easy to find. Myself personally, I'm focusing on $100 or less campaign donations. The state has a good program where they'll match that, and a lot of the council candidates are doing that, you know, asking people for small donations and trying to get a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of the unfortunate realities of running for public office is it costs money. And, you know, you have to have signs, bumper stickers, and people try to do without that, but normally they're not successful. And so you do have to raise a little money. You have to be willing to ask people for money. And I'm going to give a big shout out to all the people that have supported me over the years. And I'll get checks in the mail for $5. And I know they're just as valuable to that person who's giving to me as a person that gives me, you know, possibly $500. But it's just people really are generous when they want to help you. You know, earlier, Jimmy, if I could cut in, there was a caller that talked about the call was about who's qualified to run and who's not qualified to run. And the only qualification is getting elected. You know, if you, that's really it. There are people serving in office. I've met, you know, a whole bunch of them with various levels of education, various personalities. And it's just about having the heart and the will and the drive to go out there and ask people for help, ask people to vote for you.
Mm-hmm.
And my hat's off to all the candidates right now that are out there. It's hard work. And for anyone to put themselves out as a candidate deserves our respect, regardless of their ideology or particular platform.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's spend just a couple minutes talking about your son's effort. Dylan decided to toss his name into the hat and try this this thing called politics, and wasn't as successful as maybe he would have liked, but you've got to be proud of your son and just share some of your sentiments as to what it was like to watch him out there almost every morning with his ohana and his supporters.
You know, it's as a father, you know, I'm obviously extremely proud of my son Dylan, and as a person who's been in politics myself for, you know, 15 years or so, I've seen a lot of candidates come and go. I've ran races, many races myself, obviously. And Dylan and his team worked hard. They work hard. They really put it out there. They knocked on doors. They did everything that they could have done, and he was not successful. And this was not his time.
Mm-hmm.
The first race I ever ran, I lost, and I've lost two races since then.
Mm-hmm.
And people say it's not personal, but it is, because people are choosing you over that other person.
Right.
But each time, win or lose, the experience is just irreplaceable. It's a phenomenal experience. And Dylan had this experience going up to people's houses and sharing his mana'o and with those people and listening to their concerns.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows you as a candidate to go into areas and communities and experience cultures and people that you wouldn't normally do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a great experience. And I think the people that get involved in those campaigns and help share a little bit of that, it's fun. It can be fun. It's a lot more fun when you win. But even losing is well worth the investment of time and energy and community participation. And we need people to step up. Every race should be a challenge. No one should run unopposed. And I encourage people out there today, if they really want to make a difference, I mean, donating money, believe me, you know, we all need money. But if someone wants to help, someone wants to go help knock on doors, help put up signs, you know, find a candidate that you share their vision,
mm-hmm.
they share their values,
mm-hmm.
and offer to help.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a great opportunity to get to know the candidate, get to know the people, and get involved in the community firsthand.
My first campaign I got involved with was holding signs for Ray Chuan.
Okay.
And he ran for council and was asked by Judy Dalton. I was a newcomer on the island and a new member of the Sierra Club. And she said, you know, would you be interested in just kind of helping out? And I was like, sure. And I always admired Ray's fortitude and his, you know, just sharp mind and his political acumen to kind of go there and testify in front of the council and point out some of the issues and the flaws, and just felt like, gosh, that would be a good thing to do and get involved that way.
And see, Ray, bless his heart, God rest his soul, is a perfect example. He's like Dylan, you know, you can protest and you can testify and you can write letters and you can say they should have done this, they mm-hmm. should have done that. You can be a critic,
mm-hmm.
But really it's the people that say, okay, I'm going to be more than a critic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get out there, I'm going to put my personal life, public life out there and try to run for office. And, you know, there's a lot of armchair quarterbacks, but it's the people that really engage the system by running for office or by getting involved with campaigns that deserve our respect.
Mm-hmm. And on that note, I did want to, you know, get into the campaign part, but I also wanted to find out a little bit more on council action, the notion of, we talked a little bit about taxes, the workshop was today, this idea of pay as you throw. For listeners, I heard on other call-in shows on KKCR, folks having concerns about this. What is the pay as you throw, and is this a good thing, or is this something that we should just prepare for because it's going to happen? Is it inevitable? What are the concerns, and what are the benefits if we go there?
You know, I think it's a good thing. I think if we want to be serious as a community about recycling and about minimizing waste and living a sustainable life, we have to use less and throw away less.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this is designed to support. It was interesting, the Honolulu Star Advertiser today, major editorial from the paper, calling Kauai the leader of the entire state in this effort.
Mm-hmm.
And what it means, the short answer will be the people who use less, who throw away less, will pay less. And so at the end of the day, I expect this bill to pass. And I expect it to pass in a manner that will lower the cost to people who choose a smaller can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the can that I get the number of gallons mixed up, but I've got a big
96.
Can. Okay, 96. Okay, I don't need 96.
Yeah.
You know, so 64, I guess, is the can that we're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's plenty. And if I can use a smaller can and save money, hey, that's good. And so it rewards people that recycle. It mm-hmm. rewards people that care about this issue, and it rewards people that when small families, or I should say, you know, seniors, people on fixed incomes that don't throw away that much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it we all know we could do better. You know, when I go to throw things away, you know, whether I throw away a piece of cardboard or not, you know, the size of the can matters. And so I think it's a good program, and we need to let it run its course, the bill, and look at the, what it costs are, what the costs are to people. There is a low-income component. Some people are concerned about impacting large low-income families, but there's relief for that. Some people are concerned about it increases dumping on the side of the road. Research in other areas where this has happened shows that's not the case. So I think it's a good program. I think Allison Fraley and her crew have done a fabulous job working on these kinds of programs.
And this is an initiative from the administration, as opposed to this was a bill introduced by one of the council members?
Now, this is introduced by the administration, and it's part of the solid waste plan that's been in place for a while.
Terrific. Well, it is the top of the hour, 5 o'clock. You are listening to Kauai Community Radio, KKCR Honolulu, KAQA Kilauea. That's K224CQ Anahola and K284AL in Haleiwa, 90.9 FM on the beautiful North Shore, 91.9 island-wide, 104.7 on Oahu, and 92.7 in the Anahola Molawa'a area, streaming worldwide at kkcr.org. And we've got Councilmember Gary Hooser joining us live in the booth. Tim Kalai answering the phones. I've got just a couple of underwriting stuff that I'm going to go through. Then we've got some phone calls. Well, so please be patient and hold on to your hats and don't hang up just yet. We'll get to you. And just want to let folks know that this out-of-the-box special is made possible by the good folks at Aya's Garden Supply, Hawaii Life Real Estate, Manifest, and... well, who knows who else is on that list?
Aya's Garden, all-natural garden and greenhouse supply. In Kapa'a, down Kukui Street from the Dragon Building. Fertilizers, amendments, soil, seeds, garden and farm organic growing supplies. Open Monday through Saturday. More information at 822-7333 or visit Aya's Garden on Facebook.
Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO-free Kauai, agricultural biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices, such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina.
Dove presents Manifest with Michael Franti, Paula Fuga, and more this Sunday, August 31st, from 2 to 9 p.m. at Church of the Pacific Outdoor Amphitheater. Tickets available at Harvest Market in Hanalei, Healthy Hut in Kilauea, Papayas in Kapa'a, and Progressive Expressions in Koloa. That's Manifest with Michael Franti, Paula Fuga, and more. This Sunday, August 31st, at the Church of the Pacific in Princeville. All ages welcome. More information online at dovepresents.com or by calling 635-5556.
There we go. So mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. I also want to let you know that in the first week of October, we will, Kauai Community Radio, be hosting our fall membership pledge drive. That's where we kind of interrupt our regular scheduled broadcasting to ask for your support. And we certainly do appreciate the love and support that you share with us. It's what makes this radio station happen. We've got a lot of volunteers and a few staff members and lots of bills. The air conditioning to keep all the equipment is probably one of our biggest bills, as well as other assorted electrical costs. And yeah, your love, your kokua, and your kala helps us make this community radio happen. I'm going to do this one more time because I have to.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
There we go. Mahalo ya for reminding us that these views and opinions are just that, views and opinions, and really just reflect the people in the booth at the moment. And you, the caller. So phone lines, 826-7771 locally, 826-7774 if that line is busy. Toll free if you're somewhere else and you want to try 866-275-1112. That'll get us here. 1 hour. Here we go. Okay. This is a segue. I got a little list here from a caller who wanted to know, and this is opening up from the article we were talking about with Chris DeAngelo writing that, and the decision by Judge Barry M. Curran, a federal magistrate who wrote that the court's ruling simply recognizes that the state of Hawaii established a comprehensive framework for addressing the application of restricted-use pesticides and the planting of GMO crops, which presently precludes local regulation by the county. So the judge decided that the state is the big dog and the county needs to take a back seat. Your thoughts on that, Gary?
Well, first of all, it's clearly disappointing. But I'm over that, and we move forward. The judge, so people are clear, because I've looked at this with a lot of people have for the last year. When we first started, we asked this question about authority, and we did our research, and the county attorney came to the same conclusion. There is no law, statute, ordinance, or court decision up until now. There is no law saying that the county does not have authority. So there is no explicit preemption. The state doesn't have, some states do, many states do, will have an actual law saying the county can't regulate pesticides. The state of Hawaii does not have that. So there is no express preemption. That was clear from the beginning. And so then you're left with this, what the judge decided was implicit, implied preemption. So the judge looked at all the state does and said, well, you know, the state really meant for it to be exclusive. And so that's a judgment call by the judge. Obviously, I think he made the wrong judgment call, and it's appealable, and it's not the definitive, it's not the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a legal point. There were several other legal points I think is important, because the Bill 2491, Ordinance 960, has been heavily criticized, as you know, and myself and Councilmember Bynum as a co-introducers believe that it's solid. It was criticized about the Right to Farm Act. It was alleged that the Right to Farm Act superseded this. The judge ruled that's not the case. It was alleged that the federal government preempted it. The judge ruled that's not the case. It was about 10 different things. And one of them stuck so far, and that's the state implied preemption.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to deal with that. We have to move forward. And I think it's important, because other people, I've gotten notes in the mail, well, can you write another law? Can you do a better law?
Yeah.
And the answer is that you can't do a better law that deals with pesticides because this judge ruled that no law. So it's not that the law was poorly written. It's the fact that it deals with regulation of pesticides according to this particular judge.
Mm-hmm.
So I think moving forward, we look at, I think the obvious thing would be to appeal the decision to a higher court,
mm-hmm.
as is usually the case, and then look for other ways where the county has authority to regulate things like dust, or the judge ruled we can regulate agriculture. We can't regulate pesticides, but we can regulate. So there's more than one way to skin a cat, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
So we can look forward. As a council, we can press forward with the state legislation, encourage them to actually, because at the end of the day, that's what it's about. It's about protecting our environment and our health. And that's it. And I sincerely believe, and I think a majority of the people in our community believe, that harm is coming to us. You know, it's what degree of harm? We don't know until we do a study. We can't do a study until we have disclosure.
Uh-huh.
So... You know, we're not done. It's not over. It's a long way from being over.
Yeah. Now, this decision to appeal, who makes that? Is that the mayor? Is that the county attorney? Is it the four members of the council that voted in favor of the bill?
The five members overrode the veto. And so at the end of the day, that was five. The way the process works is we will be briefed by our attorney, the county's attorney, Mr. Minkin. And he will...
That's our special counsel.
Yes, our special counsel. He will brief us probably in executive session, maybe some in open session. And he will tell us whether or not he believes we should appeal.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think the normal thing would be, yes, we should. And then the council will decide whether to fund an appeal. And he'll tell us how much that would cost. You know, and there's different layers of cost. And then aside from that, Earth Justice and the Center for Food Safety represent community members and community groups. They make a separate decision whether they would want to appeal.
Mm-hmm.
So you actually have two potential levels of appeal. You know, and people have asked about and concerned about the costs, and that's a valid concern.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, because that is what people, oh, my gosh, we spent so much money. Oh, you know, blah, 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 they should pay us back.
You know, it is a valid concern. But in the scope of things, as lawsuits go, this has not really cost the county that much. $175,000, I think, is the most recent quote I've been reading in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
I think we funded up to $200,000. And it's not a good thing. We could use that $175,000 for other things. There's no question about it.
Sure, there's some potholes that need to be filled.
But there are other many other legal issues the county's dealing with right now that far exceed that cost, mm-hmm. quite frankly, even mm-hmm. though this bill gets the lion's share of the attention and the criticism. And the fundamental issue is, you know, we can't just bow down to big business every time they threaten to sue us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we're not willing to challenge industry, and they're going to, we might as well just hand them over the reins of government. You know, but we have to be able to stand up. Every time industry says, oh, I'm going to sue you, then we're going to back off and we're not going to regulate. We can't do our job properly. Government is the only entity that's in a position of regulating industry. And through history, as you know, industry always pushes back.
Right.
And I'm proud of our county, proud of our people for rising to this challenge. And again, it's a long way from being over.
Mm-hmm. And knowing that the in the judge's view, the state is the authority in this issue, I think we could argue that they've kind of abused their authority, that they've neglected their authority. I do recall, and I'd love to kind of go back and listen to it again, that Councilmember Raposo...
I haven't memorized.
Right? He made a statement that if that's what it takes to get them to do the job, we can take them to court. I saw a statement attributed to you echoing the same sentiment.
Absolutely.
Is that something that we should consider?
You know, I am talking to two different attorneys right now about that possibility. The state is totally negligent in its duty to protect the citizens of Kauai. Totally negligent, in my opinion. There are doctors, as you know, in Kauai Veterans Memorial Hospital in Waimea, who have said it in writing and on, been interviewed by outside journalists. They believe that we have 10 times the rate, national rate, of certain rare heart defects. They said, you know, we're not scientists, but we deliver babies, and we're concerned about this. We think there's 10 times the rate. So you go to the state, and I do, and ask them, what's going on? Can you help? And there is a birth defect registry the state's supposed to keep up. They haven't kept it up since 2005. Okay, so it's just atrocious. It's criminal in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
The lack of enforcement from the Department of Ag, it takes 2 or 3 years to follow through on pesticide inspections. I believe, but I'm not an attorney, but I believe we have every right to sue the state and possibly the federal government too. Whether we can get an attorney to take that on for free, whether the county attorney would want to take that on, those are different questions.
Peter Shea, I hope you're listening.
Yes.
But, you know, it's unfortunate that it goes to that effect. But, you know, Ralph Nader Mel Raposo have issued statements suggesting that, you know, taking it to the court of law to force the government, the responsible government entity, to do their job, that's an appropriate strategy. And it seems like, you know, and I would imagine our friend Clayton Kubo would agree that health and welfare of the people is paramount.
Yeah, people are over it. People that live in that community, as you know, there are 150 residents right now are suing Pioneer. People have been waiting so long to get some acknowledgement and respect and some help.
Justice.
Yes.
We've got a phone call. Aloha, caller. Hello, caller. Can you hear us?
Hello.
Hello. Are you
Hello.
There?
Hello. Yes. Are you there?
We're there. We're here for you on Kauai Community Radio.
Okay. This is Margie Maupin, nurse practitioner, primary care provider in Waimea.
Aloha, Margie.
Aloha. I have a very low faith in our state taking care of the health of our community, and I'll give you an example of that. I have tried probably 20 times to call the Department of Health about a child. A mother came in to me and told me that her son was waking up 4 times a week with a bloody pillow, nosebleeds in his sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And he lives in Kekaha. And she asked me also, is there any chance that any of these pesticides could make it harder for him to learn, because he seems to be struggling very hard when he didn't used to be, and he seems to be trying as hard, but he's not doing as well. And I looked up the pesticides that were found in the air samples in the school next to KVMH, Waimea Canyon Middle School, and chlorpyrifos, one of the restricted use chemicals that is not sprayed in homes but only by the agrochemical companies, is known to lower IQ and also to cause respiratory effects and all kinds of other terrible things. So about the 20th time I called the Department of Health and left messages and didn't get calls back, the secretary said to me, "Is this call about pesticides?" And I said, "This is about an ill child who I feel may be ill due to pesticide exposure." And what the secretary said to me is, "The head of the Department of Health, Dr. Linda Rosen, told me to tell you, if this is about pesticides, don't bother calling me back. And I won't be returning your calls. Don't waste your time anymore."
I'm sure you felt comforted by that response.
Well, what they said to me then was, call the state toxicologist, Dr. Barbara Brooks. So I did that. And I called, and I called, and I called, and I got no response, and I emailed, and I sent reports of anonymous lists of people that I feel are ill due to pesticides, which happened in January. And finally, she got back to me and said, call somebody and somebody or other who will come out and respond to illegal spraying of pesticides. And that's all she had to offer me. And my question is not, is it illegal or legal? Is it healthy? And it's not healthy. And I'm seeing sick people. I'm seeing on average, I'd say one sick person a day that I feel is from pesticide exposure. I'm being conservative when I say one. I think it's more than that, but I'm really starting out to be, to be as correct as I can about that. So those are the two top people in the Department of Health that I should report to. When I asked them who their supervisors were, or asked the secretary, because I needed to then contact their supervisors because they were not responding to me, they said the governor. Well, I've been sending emails to the governor and the mayor at least monthly with my pesticide reports of my list of anonymous patients, and I have gotten no response from either one of them. And I even had lunch with the mayor to talk about this, and he keeps saying to me when he sees me, "Oh, we need to talk story about that." And he seemed very concerned when we had lunch together, but that was maybe 4 months ago, and there's been no follow-up. So that's my story.
Well, thank you for sharing your story, Margie. Thank you for the efforts that you're putting out there to try to, make the kahea, to try to get folks paying attention. I do remember when Governor Abercrombie was introducing his cabinet. It was at Chiefs Middle School, and you asked that question of the Department of Health at the time. Different woman, and unfortunately she's passed away, but you called her out and just said, what are you guys going to do? And
yes,
I just appreciate your work there.
And I won't stop, but I just wanted you to know what's been happening right there at the grassroots level with these patients.
Thank you, Margie. Thank you so much for all that you do. And
I'll take off now. Thank you.
And we're talking about earlier about county authority in terms of regulating pesticides. What a lot of people don't know is the county does have the authority to enforce health department rules. We just don't have the people to do it, or the staff to do it, or we don't have the expertise to do it at this point. But the county could, if it wanted to, by law right now, enforce health department rules. And as we move forward looking for different options, that may be one of the options. There was a note about the gorilla in the room. about the county spending too much money.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is an issue that has to be dealt with. And I'm asking, yesterday's meeting, I brought that up because we were talking about taxes as well. And I'll be asking the administration, the mayor, to come to the council to tell us about what his plans are to cut government.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be that the answer is, well, we can only cut government if we want to cut parks, or we want to cut lifeguards, or we want to cut police.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever the answer is, I think it's a good community conversation to have.
Right.
If, in fact, we cannot realistically cut expenses, I think we can, but if we can't, then the mayor and the administration can explain that to us and explain to the community what services would suffer as a result of those cuts.
Right.
The bigger issue, I believe, is that the growth of the government and the growth of the tax revenue has not kept up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not been in sync.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why there's these sudden increases, because, oh my goodness, all of a sudden we have to pay these bills. There are other appropriate sources of revenue. Councilmember Bynum has this agronomics bill. These large multinational agrochemical companies pay the same rates as a small organic farmer does in their property taxes, and that's a problem. They can well afford it. Their impacts on the environment, on the land, on our community are far greater. There's a perfect public policy linkage there to justify raising additional money from these operations and using those monies to put a direct nexus toward enforcing possibly the health department rules or supporting small farmers.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a nexus. And what I'd like to do is take the energy, Jimmy, that has been in this community for the past 2 years, focused on this issue, and try to put it into a focus that where we could generate a more sustainable community. So it's kind of an offense and a defense. We're concerned about the pesticides. We're concerned about these practices that are not healthy to the environment and our health. Let's fight those, to stop those, to regulate those. But let's also channel this energy into supporting small farms, supporting feeding ourselves, supporting, you know, positive measures to put the garden back into the garden island.
Mm-hmm. Now, Gary, you're not anti-ag, are you?
Not at all.
Where did that come from?
It's propaganda, I guess. You know, and there is no question, during the heat of the moment with this last year, both sides kind of stretched the conversation probably a little bit too far. But the agrochemical companies defend their practices and call those who are concerned about those practices anti-ag, and that's the bottom line. I'm not anti-ag at all. You know, I'm a chairman of the Agricultural Committee on the council. My wife, if she would have her druthers, she would have me running a farm.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see ag flourish, real ag, you know, local agriculture, agriculture that actually feeds people. And I think there's some exciting possibilities. You know, I don't eat a lot of meat, quite frankly, but there is enormous possibilities in grass-fed, locally grown beef.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we import millions and millions of dollars for a hamburger, for schools, and for restaurants.
Our Department of Ed serves that stuff at every cafeteria on the island.
And just replacing a small part of that with clean, grass-fed beef would have enormous benefits. It's healthier, and the economic development benefits would be huge for our economy. And we can do that. We have the pasture land available. But unfortunately, right now, those landowners are drawn to the high rents paid by these agrochemical companies, and they don't want to tie their land up for these lower rents generated by these ranchers.
Mm-hmm.
And the ranchers can't get long-term leases, and so it's difficult for them to plan ahead and to do their job to provide the level of service to provide the grass-fed beef that's needed for this island. So that's an issue that I plan on digging into.
Mm-hmm.
The big landowners get very generous property tax benefits for agricultural dedication, for putting their land in agriculture. And I think we can use that tool to support ranching and other sustainable mm-hmm. agricultural efforts.
A more diversified agricultural portfolio.
Yes.
I'm glad that you shared that with our listeners, that you are not anti-ag. I see that all the time, anti-ag this, and it's it's a little confusing because I think of you as not being anti-ag.
If you saw my yard, I mean, I'm not a farmer by any stretch of the imagination, but...
But you got chickens in the yard, and if we had...
We eat a lot of... I take great pride out of eating my own veggies, that kind of thing.
If we had a little bit more lassitude with our planning commission with restricted use permits...
I'd have bees.
You'd have bees in your backyard as well.
And you know, the anti-ag thing, I think a lot of times we just have to throw water on this issue or on the people talking about it, again, on both sides sometimes, and say, wake up a second, wait, we're only looking at disclosure and buffer zones and a study.
There you go.
Doesn't limit anybody's agriculture. Just, we're not telling you even you can't use this stuff. We're just saying, tell us what it is.
Joan Conroe, I hope you're listening.
When we did our research, when I did my research, I asked the Department of Ag, give me a list of everybody in our county who buys restricted use pesticides. And I got that list. And no real farmer that grows food to eat on our island uses anything close to what these four companies use.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are a few smaller farmers, truck farmers, that use a little bit of restricted use every couple of years. But this bill would not have impacted real farmers in any way at all. And even the agrochemical companies would not restrict their operations at all. They're leasing 15,000 acres of land. The buffer zones are minimal impacts. The disclosure is, they've already got the information. And we're not asking for trade secrets. And the judge acknowledged that, too, that this was not a trade secret issue.
Uh-huh. And yet the state introduces, and mahalos to Derek Kawakami and Representative D. Morikawa for introducing House Bill 673, which was a pesticide registry bill, you know, a duplicate that was introduced by Mina Marita and D. Morikawa in a couple sessions earlier. That one never got out of committee. This one got out of committee, but then was just watered down. And
it's never been implemented.
There we go.
It's never been implemented. And then the judge takes away the power of the county. I shouldn't say the judge takes away the power, but basically his decision did.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And hopefully his decision does not stand.
Mm-hmm.
As you and I both know, there's been lots of decisions that we had to wait till we got to the Supreme Court.
To decide on that.
Exactly.
We have another phone call. Aloha caller, you're on the air with Councilmember Gary Hooser.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Marge calling.
First Aloha, Marge.
Of all, I want to thank you, Gary, for hanging in there for all of us. I know you are really unfairly criticized, most recently in yesterday's paper, when a writer said that you were not looking after the interests of all the people on the island. And when in fact you are, you know, you are looking after all the interests of people on the island. That is, you know, some 60,000 plus tourists who visit here every day for their health. And it's way out of proportion to, and it's way in big numbers in proportion to those who might lose some of their jobs if the GMO corporations are forced to leave. But what I wanted to comment on was, and you just mentioned it, was a sustainable cattle ranching industry here. I attended the Lihue Business Association meeting this morning where two cattle ranchers gave wonderful presentations about their businesses and some of their problems. And what I heard loud and clear was that any rancher who needs to lease land to raise cattle, which is a minimum 3-year process for just one, you know, one litter, one life cycle of a cat, of a steer, the lease arrangements with the property owners are very tenuous, making it almost unwisable to enter into cattle ranching. Unless you own your own property, which I believe the Robinson family does, in fact, own the property in which they're ranching cattle. So there seems like there needs to be some changes in people's awareness of the, quote, best and highest usage of the land, which right now seems to be real estate, I think, from what I can tell. And that doesn't take into consideration the long-term leasing that the cattle ranchers need to sustain their herds. So I was wondering if you had any insight as to how we could possibly change that around, Gary.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for the call and for the kind words you said up front. And I want to be clear on this, even though I
can't hear you.
Okay.
Somehow your
mic is that better? Is that better? I just wanted to thank you. Can you hear me now?
A little bit better, but not as before.
Okay. I'm going to keep talking here.
There you go.
Okay, good. I wanted to thank you, number one, for your call and for the kind words you said about me and the work that I've been doing. But to be clear, this is the community's work. You know, the community stepped up and asked me to, can I help? Can I get involved? But it was a community that's been leading this, and I'm proud to work alongside of them and proud to play the role I've done. But there's a whole lot of people that this wouldn't have happened. We wouldn't have made the progress that we've made. Margie Maupin was on the phone earlier, and there's just so many people that have helped. And it's just a real community-building movement, if you would. With regard to the cattle ranching, it ties in with this, in general, the big ag. One-third of the land used by these big companies is state land. The state controls tens of thousands of acres of good land on Kauai that could be used for cattle ranching. And so one thing I have to do, as soon as we get past the silly season that we're in now, the election season, and hopefully I'm blessed to be reelected, as soon as we get through this, we can all kind of focus a little bit more on longer-term thinking. I want to work on this issue and try to see about the state stepping up and helping these cattle ranchers. There's no reason they couldn't. I mean, there's lots of land available. If some of the land may not be in the right area or the right kind of land, it's possible that the land could be swapped in terms of leases. But I think, you know, if there's a will, there's a way. And we've conquered and overcome a lot of obstacles along the way these last 2 years. And I'd like to, again, turn that energy toward this kind of thing, Marge, to say, how can we support, you know, clean, grass-fed cattle, beef for our island, as well as other kinds of positive, sustainable, diversified agriculture.
Right, and also for releasing the water that goes with cattle ranching. The rancher on Bette Midler's land on there on the Kapa'a bypass, they have no water on that property to feed their herd. It's all have to be brought in. And one of the reasons, I believe, is because twin reservoirs on Waipui Road got cut off after the Koloko Dam misfortune. And apparently the three property owners, and I think the county is one of them, said, no, we don't want that liability, so we're going to close down those dams. And so it's releasing no water into that property that cattle rancher uses for, I think he's got about 3,000 head in there. Anyway, I may be wrong on the amount, but it's a lot. And just to open up the waterways again that got closed down, either for whatever reasons they've been closed down, many of us who may want to have lohi and grow taro are not able to do that anymore because the water has been removed from our agricultural ditches. So, like you say, it's a big community problem. There are a lot of people involved with this issue, as you well know. And so I'm going to be paying more attention to that and have a positive suggestion for all of us on the island, and that is to sort of go back to the whole issue of being part of our ahupua'as and to take a real interest in the triangle piece of land that we live on this island. And find out who our neighbors are in our ahupua'a and get together with them and express our concerns about our lifestyle here and how it's been changed so rapidly so soon. So I'm willing to put a lot of time and energy into making sure that we all understand that we really are into this all together. I think that's the main thing which you've been expressing, and I appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Marge. Thank you. You said it very well. Thank you.
You bet. Thanks for the great program, guys. Aloha.
Aloha, and thanks for the call. We have another caller right on the tail end of that. Aloha, caller, you are live.
Yeah.
With, Councilman
Aloha. Hey, Gary Hoosier, thank you so much for doing a show like this, and we really appreciate having a politician that actually walks the walk. So thank you for all you've done over these years.
Well, thank you.
And I just had a comment that maybe you could comment on. A few times you said things like, and when I do the research, and when I dig into this, and blah, blah, blah. And it reminded me of a recent conversation I had with our current Mayor Bernard at a local fruit stand, and I was criticizing his record on the GMO issue, and he got all kind of flustered and said, well, if I knew that any one of those pesticides was bad, I'd get rid of it. And my jaw just dropped. Like, dude, if you haven't done the research by now, if you don't know, you're not doing your job. So thank you for all the research that you do. And I wonder if you could comment on public politicians' responsibility for doing some work on their own. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You know, I've learned a whole lot this past 18 months or 2 years about this topic, and probably, you know, no more than most, just because I was forced to do so. You know, I was involved in a leadership role on the issue. I had to know, I had to learn, and so I immersed myself in it. There are different politicians have different focuses, so some may not pay as much of attention, but certainly it's a responsibility to learn the basics of these issues, and especially with an issue like this that is at the very top of the community's priority list and is involved in discussions all over the community. Yeah, it's their responsibility to do their homework. Earlier, somebody had asked me, well, you know, who do they talk to at the state level if they want to see things change and they want to see action? And I would say would be their three state representatives, Derek Kawakami, James Tokioka, D. Morikawa, actually four, and Senator Ron Kochi. I know Derek Kawakami has been very involved and seems to be very responsive, and so would ask him. It would be my first choice to lead the charge. But depending on what district you live in, I would give these folks a call and say, this issue is important to me. The judge just told us this is the state's responsibility, so what can you do to help? And then hold them accountable for that.
There we go. We got one more phone call. Thanks for that phone call, Bareback Jack. Coming up live with Councilmember Gary Hoosier. You are on the air.
Aloha. I had a couple of questions. The first one is the State Agribusiness Development Corporation. I've read and been told that they lease state land, public land, or as little as $50 an acre. And I was wondering how your representatives and senator could get a deal like that for a regular farmer, and also that the the Agribusiness Development Corporation also takes taxpayer money to subsidize the biotech industry in improvements on the property. And I'm wondering how can a regular farmer get a deal like that? And my second question is, I know that the health department is now looking into past birth defect records that they had not been collecting the data for nearly 10 years. And now that they've hired three trainees to start delving into this, to the birth defect records, I'm wondering, many of the really serious birth defects, the doctors have told the moms to, or the families to, leave the island because there's not the specialty treatment that they need in Hawaii, and so they leave. So I'm wondering, is anyone holding the health department's feet to the fire to make sure the babies with birth defects from Kauai that have left the island or moved to the mainland, is someone going to hold their feet to the fire to not let those babies slip through the crack and not be counted because they weren't born on Kauai?
Good question.
That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, one last thing. I wish we had Gary Hoosier clones all over the state.
GMO Gary. There you go. Thank you so much for the phone call.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So much for the phone call. And, you know, it's this issue, you know, is reflective of our community in terms of it's kind of crowdsourcing solutions. And this particular point was brought up to me, and I hadn't thought about it because I've been pushing to update the birth defect registry. So I've been in contact with the Department of Health, and they finally said, okay, we're doing it. We've hired these people, and we're going to take us a while, but we're doing it. And then people in the community pointed out that, wait a second, a lot of these parents, their babies' children were actually born
elsewhere,
because the doctor noticed ahead of time there's going to be an issue, so they went to the mainland or they went to Kapilani Medical Center in Honolulu, and so it may not show up here. And so this is a result of people in the community, people like Margie Maupin and others. And it's just what I want to do. I'll talk to the ADC, the Agricultural Development Corporation, for a second, and then I want to shift. That organization needs to be totally redone. We need new management. There's no question about it. In my opinion, they are violating their charter. If you read their purpose, their purpose is to diversify agriculture, and they're not doing that. They're not at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's a monopoly, quite frankly, as we all know. There's just four or five companies doing it. This is state land. It's a state resource, and they're not doing their job. So this should be a number one priority at the state level. It's a tremendous thousands and thousands of acres that could be used, as a caller said, to provide low-cost rents for real farmers growing real food and to really build a sustainable community, ranchers and otherwise. So we really need to get on that. And there's a new governor that's going to be here. I've got my choice, and it's no secret I'm supporting Senator David Ige, and I think he's a good man. But there'll be a new governor, so hopefully there'll be a new direction in some of these areas that's more positive to us. But again, we have so much potential here, and that's what I want to do moving forward is how do we get everybody focused on, you know, again, putting the garden back in Garden Island and working together and taking the assets that we have in our community, the people and state land and the energy and the talent. We're in a veritable renaissance of agriculture here, and it's just waiting to take off. You know, we've got the Farmers Union. We've got small farmers. We've got people everywhere. People, friends of mine like Saul Kahn, you know, this guy's a young guy. He's out there farming and taking around his food and selling it to people. And I don't want to go to the supermarket anymore. I want to buy from the farmers.
Right.
So we need to take this tremendous positive energy that we have going in our community right now and harness it and bottle it and use it in our community to make our community a better place, the place that it deserves to be.
It's a growing revolution.
Oh, it is. It is. And there's no stopping it.
Here we go. I do want to just let folks know that in about 20 minutes, the Acoustic Luau will be here. Maren is getting prepped. She's picking out her favorites, and that will be at 6 o'clock. We have about 20 minutes left, a little bit less. Got a phone call here, but do want to just let folks know.
Hey, aloha. This is Maren, inviting you to tune in to KKCR on Thursday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. for Acoustic Luau, featuring the best of contemporary singer-songwriters, acoustic blues, rock, gospel, and world beat. It's all about great music, a delectable selection of tasty sound treats. That's Acoustic Luau, Thursdays 6 to 8 p.m., right here on KKCR.
There we go. That's in about 18 minutes you'll be hearing the Acoustic Luau. Also want to let folks know out there in Radio Land that if you're affiliated with anybody's campaign, you know, give us a call. Let us know. We want to hear about your candidate and your campaign. I'm going to play this PSA just to invite you all out here to come join us here at Kauai Community Radio, the station that loves you.
If you are a candidate for political office and would like to speak to Kauai on KKCR, call in to our public affairs talk shows at 826-7771, Tuesdays and Thursdays between 4 and 6 p.m.
Aloha, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's the County Council report the week of August 25th.
There will be a regular council meeting Wednesday at 9 a.m. There will also be a special council committee meeting workshop on Thursday at 9 a.m. The meetings will be in the council chambers in Lihue. Here are some highlights from the agendas. The chief of police requests for consideration a proposed draft bill to appropriate $70,000 in criminal asset forfeiture funds for the Kauai Police Department to purchase exercise equipment for the Waimea and Kauai House substations, which will be used to assist police officers in meeting the required physical performance standards for their positions. This is proposed draft bill number 2552. The chief of police also requests council approval to accept and utilize the Morpho Face Investigation Facial Recognition System from the State of Hawaii Criminal Justice Data Center, valued at approximately $12,000. Councilmember Yukimura requests approval of a proposed resolution urging the state legislature to amend the Hawaii revised statutes to give the counties the authority to enact a general excise tax surcharge to fund public transportation for inclusion in the 2015 Hawaii State Association of Counties legislative package. This was recommended to be received for the record. The Environmental Services Public Safety Community Assistance Committee has a request from Council Chair Fafaro requesting the county engineer provide an overview on the proposed pay-as-you-throw program. This was received for the record. The Finance and Economic Development, Tourism, Vista Industry, Small Business Development, Sports and Recreation Development, Other Economic Development Areas Committee has on their agenda the bill relating to timeshare tax classification, and this was approved and is under bills for the second reading. Also on their agenda is a residential investor tax classification bill, which was received for the record and is also under bills for the second reading. And finally, the bill related to vacant land reclassification, which has been approved and is also under bills for the second reading. It is recommended that all residents and property owners in Kauai pay note to these changes in the property tax structure. Bills for the first reading include the pay-as-you-throw trash bill and a bill related to the criminal assets forfeiture fund related to the police chief's request for $70,000 for exercise equipment. The purpose of the special council meeting is for the Committee of the Whole to hold a non-decision-making informational workshop to discuss the changes to the real property tax structure to include but not be limited to real property tax exemptions, tax on use, real property tax rates, the implications of the repeal of the permanent home use tax limit, the assessment and assessed values of real property in the County of Kauai, potential real property tax reform to address increases being experienced by property owners in the County of Kauai, and educational efforts that have occurred and are planned for the future. Again, this meeting will be on Thursday at 9 a.m. in the council chambers. For more information, visit the county's website at www.kauai.gov. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha.
Mahalo, John Gordon, for bringing that county council report. And we are at the tail end of the Out of the Box show. Jimmy Trujillo hosting with Tim Kalai manning the phones. Gary Hooser in the booth. Council member Gary Hooser, who is seeking re-election. We have a phone call right now. We'll bring that caller up. Caller, you are live with council member Gary Hooser.
Hey there, Jimmy. Thank you so much for the call.
No worries.
Thanks so much to Gary for just keeping us in a forward direction. And a few questions, I'll try to keep them simple. The first one is related to, I think, what's called severability. And so in bills, or I'm imagining in the final provision of Ordinance 960, there's something that says to the effect that if any part is found to be invalid, the other parts will still stand. And so in relation to the public health study, I'm wondering if it was incorrect in the Garden Island when it said that the study will not be held because regulation of the companies cannot be done at the county level, the public study not being a regulation of the companies.
Yeah.
So that's my first question.
Okay, I can address that. I have not met face-to-face with our attorneys yet, but I have talked in general about the severability clause, and they've indicated to me the entire law has been set aside. Having said that, there's nothing to prevent the county council and the county from doing a study. I don't believe that is against the law. I mean, that would be pathetic if we couldn't do a study. However, the practical reality of doing a study without disclosure, I'm not sure of the quality of the study. If the companies won't tell us what they're using, and they've told us a little bit through this voluntary program, but they have not even come close to giving us 100% of the information we need. So to do a true study, we need to have transparency on the disclosure.
Right. So that goes right into my second question, which is, what are the opportunities for expanding that voluntary program through the state and getting done what we wanted to do on a county level through the state level at this point?
Well, that certainly can be done, and I would say, you know, that the state could pass, and there were some bills drafted this past legislative session which would have mimicked 2491 at the state level, and I would support that enthusiastically. But those bills did not move. They did not pass. But the state could certainly do that. And I would encourage you to talk to your state representatives and your state senator and ask them to do that. And it would benefit everyone in the state if it would pass.
Yeah. And I noticed looking at the data that's available on the web, on the Department of Ag website about the voluntary disclosure.
Yes.
That... I mean, they are reporting some kind of use of restricted use pesticide, and it's horrifying reading what they're spraying. Mm. So I'm wondering if even the amount of disclosure that they're doing is generating enough evidence that could make some action based on what they are actually saying they're spraying.
I think the state certainly could expand its efforts on testing and doing some studies, and the county could also. Right now we're in I call it the silly season, in terms of it's the election time, and there's a transition. We possibly could have a new director of health, new governor, new Department of Ag director, and new council members, and so we kind of have to get through this period before we can move forward with any certainty in the future.
Yeah.
Which what makes this coming election so important at a local level. You know, I'm running for office, and I'm hoping and you know, be thankful if the people of Kauai elect me to serve. But it's not just me. There's 7 council members, and in order to move forward with the kind of ideas that you're talking about right now, to have the political will to fund a study, or have the political will to look at other ways to protect our people from the impacts of this industry, requires a majority on the council. And so this coming election is just critically important. We could have a majority on the council that shares the vision and the values that you and I are discussing right now, and that can move forward with these kinds of ideas, move forward with supporting this grass-fed cattle and diversified agriculture and protecting our water systems, or we could have a majority in the council who is more inclined to support industry and all that that brings to the table. And so that really is the choice. It's pretty stark, actually. And it's just so important for people to get out and to vote and to talk to your candidates, to the people that are running, and find out what their vision and where their values are.
Agreed. Thank you. One final question, which is, regardless of what the county chooses to do in terms of filing a rebuttal, I'm sorry,
An appeal, yes.
Is it possible for Earth Justice and the Center for Food Safety to continue to support the community in pursuing that issue, regardless of what the county chooses?
Yes, it is. Absolutely. They're operating independently from the county, and they could choose to appeal it separately from the county.
Excellent. Great news.
Thank you for your great questions.
Thank you so much for your service, and good luck.
Thank you.
Mahalo for that phone call. We got one more phone call coming up, and this is you're live on the air with Councilmember Gary Huzern, out of the box.
Yeah, thank you. I know this is off the subject, and it's maybe a minor issue, but this is the only place I've lived where there is no public transportation from the airport to and from the airport where you can take your baggage. And I wondered if that's anything that could be addressed to the county or the county council.
Yeah, thank you for the question. I, off the top of my head, could not tell you the rule right now on baggage. I believe it's if you can put it on your lap, you can carry it. But in terms of any large baggage, you're not allowed to carry it. I think in Honolulu, where they use the big buses, the rule is the same. If you can put it on your lap, you can carry it. I will ask, and maybe next time on the radio, I can address that question. Or if you wanted to call Councilmember Yukimura, that's her committee, and she's really a specialist on the public transportation system, which I support, but I'm just not as aware of the rules as she might be.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
And I do plan on voting for you, Gary. So.
Thank you so much. And I cannot overemphasize how important every vote counts. The council races will be decided by a handful of votes. You know, one or two is quite possible. And every vote is important. It's just so disappointing sometimes for a candidate to, after the election has happened just recently, go out into the community and go up to a friend, somebody I know, who said, "Oh, Gary, I'm so sorry. You know, I forgot to vote, but I knew you'd be okay." Or people that just, yeah, and it's just so important. I really appreciate your vote, sir, and just spread the word. We really need to get have our community take their government back.
Okay, thank you. I'll do that.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. We're going to play one last song before we're done. This was a request. It's a homegrown song. I haven't heard it. I haven't screened it, but we'll see how it goes. And then, here we go. We have her on the air right now? Okay, we'll take... Aloha. You are on the air with Councilmember Gary Hoosier, and you wanted to talk story a little bit about this musical piece that we're going to premiere here on Kauai Community Radio.
Yes, thank you so much, Jimmy, and thank you, Councilman Hoosier, for, gosh, just listening to you speak now, your leadership and your positive energy and the great respect you just hold for everyone and for the island. Thank you so much for that.
Well, thank you.
And I just wanted to share the song. My son was raised in Kilauea and, of course, is now a grown man on the mainland and still plays the ukulele and has a band now called Sound Swell. He's been writing music since he came back to the island a year ago and took part in the Kauai Music Festival and really got inspired by all the wonderful musicians there. Most of his music is surf songs. He did write one song about the GMO issue and inviting people to become aware of what's going on. And that's the song I brought by the station yesterday. And so he just rushed out a single of it. The album, the full album, won't be out till the end of the month. So I really wanted it to get played on your show. And I think everyone's going to really enjoy it. Besides just hearing the song, he wants everyone to know that any group working to raise the awareness about GMO and pesticides is welcome to use his music, this song particularly, free of charge, whether on their website or any group gatherings. And he also has put it out on Facebook that anyone showing that they've donated to any nonprofit in this vein or any candidates running for office who are working to help their communities in this situation, and they give donations, he'll send them a free download of the song also. So enjoy it.
Operation could be sending mankind to obliteration. Stand up. on your TV or your radio station. It's a grassroots fight against the situation. Stand up now. There's something you can do. Yes, open your mind or maybe grow your own food. Just check out the real situation. Agricultural disaster in the nation. Check out the real situation. Fundamental meltdown in our nation. Check out the real situation. Pesticides and the poison in the food you taste done. Check out the real situation. Check it out. Check it out.
You are listening to Sound Swell, the single Situation. And, Dane Jeffries, Chris Mons, Michael Stauch, Noah Stauch. Gary Hooser, thank you so much for joining us here on Out of the Box. Really appreciate the time you have shared with us. Good luck in your campaign, your election. Anything you'd like to say, Lack, before we hand over Kusabua?
Thank you very much, Timmy. It's been a pleasure being here in KKCR. Mahalo for the invitation and let me share my thoughts today. You know, I just feel really blessed. We live in a wonderful community, and it's an honor and a privilege to serve. If anybody wants to meet with me or speak with me, they can call me or text me at 652-4279. Email me at GaryLHooser@gmail.com. And I will be going around the island, as I always do, meeting with people, having coffee, talking stories. So if people want to meet with me personally, it could be an individual, it could be a small group, talk about issues that are important to you, please email or text or call, and we'll find a time that works for both of us. In the meantime, aloha to all of you. Aloha.